Thank you, everybody, so much for your prayers, and just have sensed the power of God in this place today, in a very genuine, in a spiritual way. Well, hey, if you're visiting with us on this long weekend, welcome here. Well, you might be, you know, this might be your first experience in church. Well, welcome, and I hope you've just been able to bask in the presence of the Lord. And if you're watching this morning or throughout the week, God bless you too. And welcome, and thank you for tuning in. Just want to thank you all so much for your prayers for me over the last little while. Those of you who prayed as we rode our motorcycles down to Bella Coola, a small team of men on a reconnaissance mission to see how God would use and what He needs in that area, all the way down Highway 20. Yeah, Highway 20, right where this slide happened this past week. We stopped for sandwiches in Hansville a couple of times, going and coming, and that's where the slide took place. And please keep those folks in your prayers, okay? They need peace, and they need reassurance that God is in control. There is a body of believers there. In fact, this past year, somebody got mad at them and burnt down their log house church. And some of you would have heard about that. The log house church has been there for years and years and years, and it burnt to the ground. And I stopped the guys. I said, "We're going to go in there." I knew where it was, and we went in and prayed for the body of believers who are meeting now in homes, and the Word of God is still alive there in that area. So keep them in your prayers during this time. It's a difficult time. And thank you so much for praying for me for my surgery. And I am recovering. It's been a little over a week for my back surgery. Some of you don't know that. And Pastor Jerry was a little concerned. He said, "Are you going to be up there with on painkillers and give us some crazy stuff?" And I said, "No, I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me today," you know, and kind of set him at peace a little bit, I think. But seriously, I'm not on painkillers. But I was wondering, you know, just before surgery, I was wondering if I would ever see you again. That's serious. I was wondering about that. I'll tell you why I wondered that. I was being wheeled to the emergency room. No, to the operating room. The operating room, and the anesthesiologist was beside me, and she was giving me all sorts of instructions and talking to me, and I didn't hear anything she was saying. I because my attention was on the room that I was going to, and music was coming out of that operating room. And I was thinking, what is going on here? And as we got closer, and as they wheeled me into the room, the song that was playing was "Knock, Knock, Knocking on Heaven's Door." And I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm ready to go. If you want me to go now, I'm ready to go now." And she continued speaking to me, and there was staff working. And all of a sudden, the song changed to the next song. "Welcome to the Hotel California." I mean, you can't write that script. You can check in any time you want, but you can never leave. Like, what? And so at that point, I thought, "Okay, Lord, I don't know if I'm ever going to come out of this place, but I'm going to see you very soon." So anyways, that was a crazy time, and I'm slowly getting better, and I want to thank you all for your prayers. And Brother Ken really had an anointing as he prayed for me this morning, and I appreciate that so much. So I understand that there's a resignation, and we're leaving, and it's true. But you know, it's been a very difficult decision for us to make, because you know, this is the Okanagan, and we're going to be going to a lot of cold places. And who would want to leave the Okanagan, and who would want to leave a healthy and thriving church? A church with wonderful leadership and wonderful people, Who'd want to do that and go to dysfunctional churches around our province? Because you know, when a pastor goes as an interim pastor to a church in transition, they're a dysfunctional lot of people. No, they're not. You weren't. I came here. You weren't. And the next assignment was Prince George. They weren't either. So don't think that we're going to a bunch of people who need, who are needy. Okay, so we're all needy, right? But we're going where the Lord is calling us. And we'll also be very engaged with our Mission Global. And we're hoping that as the Lord opens doors for us, that we'll be able to go to different parts of the world. And you can be praying along with us. How about that? You can be a part of our mission, be praying along with us. So in January of 2019, the Lord showed us clearly what our post-retirement would look like. Okay, I was just about to turn 65. And I had written in my prayer journal over after a time of prayer and fasting that we were called to help churches through pastoral transition and be involved in intercultural mission. Now, a lot happened since then. You came in the in-between time, but it's 5 years later now, and I'm beginning another decade of life. Not Carrie, not my Carrie. She's still young. She's much, much younger than I am, okay? So we're ready to move forward. And that's where we're at right now. We're just getting the signals from the Holy Spirit that we need to move forward. The past 5 years, it's like we've gone to another unit in God's seminary, prep for what's still coming ahead. So, you know, we're excited about it. And there are a lot of questions, but we know that we've got you praying with us and we appreciate that so much. Well, we're in a summer series on the armor of God, the good fight, Ephesians chapter 6. And you might be watching and thinking, aren't you guys a Christian church? You're not supposed to be fighting, are you? Aren't you followers of the Prince of Peace? You shouldn't be fighting. Well, I'm talking about the good fight here. And we do fight the good fight. And this series is about seven ways to apply the gospel to our lives, which is the good fight. So I want us to look at what the Bible says, our authority on all things, okay? In Ephesians 6, we'll be reading verses 10 to 18. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Okay, so this is our scripture passage for this summer series. Here we go. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. You know, when I read this passage, the word stand really stands out to me. Now, sorry for that bad pun, but the word stand. I like war movies. I love the strategies. I love the maneuvering. I love the good guy winning, you know, the person with the white hat. I love that about war movies. And I've noticed something, and you probably have as well. When you're watching a war movie, usually it's late at night or something. The scene is late at night. You're not watching late at night. Yeah, you might be watching late at night. But, you know, the scene is a night scene, and you're thinking, oh, no. You know, and the soldiers are kind of standing around. There's usually one guy, you know, slouching, smoking a cigarette, you know, and his gun's over somewhere else, and he's laughing and joking. And you know, and I'm thinking the same, you know, we all think the same thing, right? You're thinking, oh, no, he's going to be the first guy to go. For sure, he's the first guy to go in this surprise attack. He's finished. Sure enough, what happens? The bullet starts flying, and he's the first to go. He's the first to get killed. Stand, the Bible says. Stand, be ready. Always be ready is what our scripture is saying. Well, I want to give you a bit of a recap. Every once in a while, I'm going to lean on this guy, okay? I'll give you a bit of a recap of where we've come so far in our series. The first Sunday was an introduction. Pastor Jeremy gave the introduction to the series. And he said, we're calling this the Good Fight series because we're called to fight not against people, but for people. 1 Timothy 6:12 tells us that. And he talked about fighting on three fronts: the world, society that's apart from God, and the flesh, that's our old sinful nature, the sinful impulses that we have. Oh. What happened there, Jer? Did I get a bullet? Oh, did I sit on that thing? I must have sat on it, right? And ripped it off, did I? I don't know. Carrie usually dresses me. Oh, is that it? Okay. So the world, right? The flesh and the devil. And the battle is the Lord's. Be strong in the Lord. You know, sometimes we think that the devil is, there's a possibility that the devil's going to win. Well, he's not. He's a loser. And I love the way Pastor Jared put it. He's a sore loser. Well, the second Sunday, Riley comes along and he talks about the belt of truth. And he talked about the purpose for the belt to hold the armor in place. And it's so effective for that. And I loved Riley's example. His analogy was unreal. I still see the image of his baggy pants falling down. Do you too? Some of you there. You know, how important is the belt of truth? And the point is that without the truth, without living in the truth, our life gets totally unraveled. He said the enemy's trick is to distort the truth. He discredits the truth. He manipulates the truth. He tries to get us believing that there are no absolutes. And Riley asked this provoking question, how can we know absolute truth? And one key point that he made was this: truth is objective. It's true for everyone, whether you're feeling it or not. And then the third Sunday, last Sunday, Pastor Jared talked about righteous and ready. He said the Christian life isn't a playground. It's a battleground, he said. Jared repeated that the armor of God is really seven ways for us to apply the gospel. The body armor of righteousness is the state of being in right standing with the Lord and always remembering that the battle is the Lord. How do we put on this body armor? He said, by making righteousness your priority in your prayer and for being responsive to the Lord's discipline instead of fighting it. He said, compromise is a crack in our armor. Okay, so today, the title of my message is Good News Shoes. And let me read today's text again. We read it once, 6:15. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Now, shoes or boots are really important in warfare, right? Some of you might remember the scene from Forrest Gump where Lieutenant Dan tells Forrest and Bubba, he says, always take care of your feet. Always keep them dry. Watch out for your feet. In war, you take care of your feet. Your footwear, that's so very, very important. Now, when we talk about weapons, some are offensive weapons, right? And some defensive. So, shoes of the gospel of peace, offensive or defensive? Offensive, raise your hand. Offensive? Offensive? Defensive, raise your hands. Okay. How many don't know? Okay, the I don't knows win out on this. Well, I think it's both. I think it's both. Two clearly offensive weapons are listed in our series text, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and then prayer. Those are offensive weapons, absolutely. But I sort of see shoes of the gospel of peace being offensive and defensive. Sometimes you need to stand. Like we read, shoes are good to help you stand, for sure. You have a defensive position there. But they're mostly to help you walk. They're mostly to help you run. They're for action. Not only to make you look good. Oh boy, that might have hurt some people. Action shoes. Army boots. Running shoes. And you know, sometimes you have to run away. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. You have to run. Sometimes you have to run away, don't you? And sometimes you need to run into the battle. I think, though, before we get all carried away about talking too much about the analogy of shoes, we need to focus on what the shoes represent. What do they represent? What are we putting on? We put on the gospel of peace is what we put on. The peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. That's from today's scripture. So what is the gospel of peace and how do you put it on? Well, first of all, what is it? Gospel, that's an easy one, right? Gospel is good news. Good news. And of peace? Of peace? Well, there's a Hebrew word which is translated peace in our Bibles, and it's the word shalom. My goodness, shalom is an amazing word. It's a rich word. Some of you use this word here around here. I've been greeted with shalom from some of you. And as I've left, you've said shalom. It includes such a broad vision of human flourishing and thriving. It's unlike our English word for peace, which mostly means to cease from hostilities, right? But our English word peace is also defined as a state of security or order within a community or freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. They're up on the screen there. Harmony in personal relations. A state or period of mutual concord between governments. It's also a word used to ask for silence or calm or as a greeting or farewell to, you know, peace out. Young people say that, right? And shalom means all of this. but topped off with thriving and flourishing, completeness. It's a word that embodies so much unbelievable good stuff. Well, the word used for peace here is not shalom. Obviously, that's a Hebrew word. The New Testament was written in Greek. So then you might ask, well, why are you bringing that up then? Why are you talking about shalom? Because the Greek word that is not shalom, but it's irene, is almost identical in meaning. And this word is usually translated peace in the English New Testament. But when the New Testament writers wrote irene, they would have most definitely mostly be thinking shalom. They were for the most part Jewish, Hebrew. Irene. Can you say that with me? Irene. It's actually, I think there's a... I should have asked Slava how to pronounce that properly, but it's irene, isn't it? The emphasis on the ray there. Who cares, right? But this word is usually translated peace in the English New Testament. So when it's written here in the Ephesians, to the Ephesians, it's talking about the shoes of Rene. It's talking about the shalom shoes. According to the Old Testament prophets, shalom or irene will be an essential characteristic of Jesus' kingdom. And so it is used almost synonymously with the idea of salvation through Christ. You see the parallel there. Completeness. Listen to Ephesians 2:17. He, Jesus, brought this good news of peace, irene, to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and irene to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. I was reading a little bit about what Jonathan Pennington, a theologian, wrote about it. And he wrote about it in speaking about what is unique about Christianity versus other religions. This is what he writes. The Bible certainly speaks to the issue of human flourishing in very significant ways. What is unique and what is revelational and authoritative for the Christian is that Holy Scripture understands human flourishing to be a function of God's redemptive work in the world. In other words, the good news. The Bible paints a beautiful picture of biblical thriving using the words shalom and irene. So what the gospel of peace is, I think is clear. It's the good news of flourishing. And it only comes, this flourishing can only come through a relationship with Jesus. Yeah, we still have challenges in life and struggles and sickness, but we have it with hope and peace and even joy in the midst of what we're going through. Jesus said, you're in the world, you're just not of it, but you live in it. So Christian, we can have these wonderful good news of peace shoes, and they can be perfectly lined up in this closet we call our life. There you go. What do you think of my shoes of the good news of peace? Here they are right there. I got them. I got my good news shoes. Well, what good are they if you don't put them on? What good are they if they're just there to look at? I think some of you are catching on to what I'm getting at here. these good new shoes of wonderful, flourishing life. Some of you might remember a Nancy Sinatra song from way back, "These Boots Are Made for Walking." And that's just what they'll do. Now, we don't want to sing the rest of it because that's the bad part, okay? But the good part is these boots were made for walking. And that's just what they'll do. Shoes are not meant to look at. They're meant to wear. They're meant to walk in. So number two, how do you put them on? What does it look like? What does it look like when they're on your feet? Being ready and willing to speak is putting them on. Readiness and preparedness is putting them on. And as you're willing to speak, you're putting them on. You're ready. In 1 Peter's letter, he writes, well, in Peter's first letter, he writes to his readers, that's us, about being ready. He writes, and I'm reading this from the Message, "If with heart and soul you're doing right, do you think you can be stopped? Even if you suffer for it, you're still better off. Don't give the opposition a second thought. Through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention in adoration before Christ your Master. Be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are. And always, with the utmost courtesy, keep a clear conscience before God so that when people throw mud at you, none of it will stick. They'll end up realizing that they're the ones who need a bath. It's better to suffer for doing good, if that's what God wants, than to be punished for doing bad. That's what Christ did definitively, suffered because of other sins, the righteous one for the righteous ones. He went through it all. He put to death and then was made alive to bring us to God." I love what Paul writes to the Romans. In Romans chapter 10, he writes this: "How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them?" And Paul's rhetorical questions highlight the importance of preaching and of sharing the gospel with people in order for faith to rise in people's hearts. It's a call to action. And he goes on to emphasize the beauty of wearing these good new shoes, the beauty of it. Just right in the next verse, verse 15 of Romans chapter 10, he's actually quoting Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 52:7. And here's the whole verse of Isaiah 52:7. "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. The good news of peace," that's the word shalom there, "flourishing, and salvation, the news that the God of Israel reigns." Folks, this is how you know you're wearing the shoes of the gospel of peace. You're running with the gospel of peace in your mouth. I'm excited about our youth going on their short-term mission to the Dream Center. They're putting on the good news shoes. You can pray for them. Please do pray for them. They're putting them on. And I want to close this morning with giving you a couple of living examples of Jesus followers from our church who understand this scripture, who get up in the morning and put on their shoes of the gospel of peace. Now, I'm going to name a couple names, but I want you to know I've asked both of them if I could share this about them, because I know what they do, and it's not for human applause. Bill Ponto, just home from the hospital after some very serious surgeries. He's ready, always ready. I feel sorry for the nurse who's on his ward. They don't have a chance. Actually, I I know that those folks are blessed. The good news, shoes are always on Bill Ponto. Last couple of weeks, he spent weeks in the hospital. He knows he was there for a purpose, though, and he suffered so much. He knows why he was there, because everyone who comes in contact with him finds out very quickly who his life belongs to. He runs with the gospel of peace, even when he's lying in the hospital. I love the way he puts it. He says, this is the gospel that I just told you, the good news. Now I want you to investigate it. That's what he says. Maybe some of you watching today, he said that to you. He shares the gospel everywhere and in any way he can. And some of you here were introduced to the gospel because of Bill. You say, well, that's boldness. Well, yeah. Here's another one. Carrie, my Carrie. Every morning she prays, Holy Spirit, use me today. To speak life to those I thought I got my tears out of the way when we were worshiping. It's not that easy, I guess. Help me to speak life to those who come and sit in my salon chair. Nothing brings her more joy. I know this, I live with her. Nothing brings her more joy than sharing the gospel of peace. And she's prepared. She's ready. Now, when Pastor Jer assigned this verse for me to speak on this morning, and by the way, I really envy those people who can cry and just keep talking right through their crying. Must be wonderful to be able to do that. I sure can't. But when he asked me, I don't think he had any idea that for a year now on a regular basis, he might know this about me. I might have mentioned it at a staff meeting over the year. But I mean about two times a week, twice a week, sometimes virtually every day of the week, I'll look at my phone and there it is, 3:16, the time. In the middle of the night, you know, having to get up, you know, for what? You know, I look at the time, 3:16. I don't want to step on the dog, so I pick up my phone and use it for a flashlight. 3:16. In the afternoon, my phone will ring, 3:16. A text will come in, 3:16. Or an email. I walk into the kitchen and on the microwave, 3:16. In Doha, Qatar. On our mission, I was walking down the aisle, I looked up at the digital clock, 3:16. I told my family about it about a year ago, and they said, why do you think that's happening? And I said, well, I know why it's happening. It's reminding me of John 3:16, the gospel. It's a reminder, a constant reminder that I'm on mission. I'm on God's mission. I guess I need constant reminders. I have a feeling I do. I'm very forgetful. Some of you know that. I've told you, I'll give you a call. You're still waiting. I need steady reminders. I need to be ready to share the gospel of peace. Always ready. You know why? Because I know the gospel of peace changes everything for people. Most of you here today and listening online can testify to this. For many years, I remember as in business in the late 70s, I remember these four words that I've repeated since then. You can as well, because I always know I've shared the gospel, the full gospel, with someone when I've used these words in conversation. The first one is God. God loves you. The second one is you. You can love him back. You can love him back anytime you want because of Jesus. Jesus made the way. Jesus gave his life for you so you could come back into relationship with God. And you can believe this by faith. You can say, I'm sorry. You can repent from your sins and accept him into your life and live for him. The abundant life, the best life in the world, not without issues, but the best life in the world still, and have eternal life. You know, to talk about and show God's love isn't as hard as it seems. The devil makes it look hard, people. Know this. The devil makes it look hard. He makes it sound so hard. That's why it's a battle. We're going into the kingdom of darkness. We're wearing our shoes of good news. We're walking into the king, the enemy's kingdom with a light. With a light. The kingdom of darkness. We're announcing the gospel of thriving and flourishing, rescuing those there and bringing them into the kingdom of light. Wow. No wonder he doesn't want you in there. It's a fight. The good fight that Jesus is fighting for and with you as you put on your good news shoes. Let's pray. Lord, here we are as your ambassadors. Called us to declare the truth. You called us to a ministry of reconciliation, reconciling the world to you. That's our mission. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord Jesus, that you help us with this. Isn't it just like the enemy to do that right at this point? So we bind his work right now in Jesus' name. Because he's wanting to bring interruption. He's wanting to get our mind off of truth. So Lord, I pray right now that we as the people of God examine our hearts. And we say, Lord, I want to put on the good news shoes. I want to put them on every day. I want to step out. I want to live life for you, O Lord Jesus. Right now, I pray for the one who's listening, whether in this room or online. And you've heard the gospel. You've heard the good news of peace. Peace. Peace in every way. You need to respond to that. You need to respond to that as millions and millions around the world have, and billions and thousands are responding to that gospel message today because it's the truth. It's life. So do yourself a huge favor and say yes to Jesus. Watch your life change. It'll never be the same. You'll find a community of people who aren't perfect, but are growing together. Would you do it today? Right now in your heart, all you have to say is, Jesus, I believe in you. Come into my life. Be my leader. Be my forgiver. Be my savior. I'll live for you. and by faith, I'll have eternal life with you. Do that right now in the quietness of this moment. And even as we sing a closing song, let that resonate in your heart, okay?